surpass every imperfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad colors. Now can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amisha the Buddha, Amisha the Dharma, Amisha the Sangha. We are accustomed to thinking of death as the ending of life. That's how we tend to think of it. That's how we tend to respond to it emotionally. We know that we can grieve deeply when someone we love, any being we love, dies. And it's not uncommon to experience this grief for years afterwards. This is the more worldly way of looking at, thinking of, reacting to death. You might say it's the way that's more rooted in ignorance. I'm not making a value judgment here. We're speaking of ignorance as basically a lack of enlightenment. We all start from that position. Let's look at it from a different point of view for a moment. Let's look at it as if our whole life is a preparation for death. And that death is not an ending, it's a new beginning. Now, from this point of view, it makes sense that if we're carrying a whole load of spiritual need, accumulated karma rooted in ignorance, and if death is a new beginning, there's a kind of logic here that we would want to do all we could to tidy up that messy load of need that we're lugging so that that new beginning is not burdened by the past, is not darkened by the past. But it really can be a new beginning. Let's not worry right now about what kind of beginning that really is. But we'd like it to be the best beginning it can be. Now let's apply the basic principles of spiritual training to the whole expanse of our present life. What do we need to do to make that new beginning the best possible new beginning? Somehow we need to process all that spiritual need in this lifetime. We have to understand that there's a great mass of inheritance from past lives that came into this life and brought us into existence. So we're not just talking about whatever need we've created through breakage of the precepts, through activity of ignorance in this lifetime. We're talking about our inheritance from the past as well. So there's a lot of work to be done. First of all, if we're making a mess in this life, then we need to stop doing that. First of all, stop making things worse and more complicated and darker. That's the beginning point. Then we need to get ourselves in a position whereby all the need that we've inherited right up to this present moment can begin to be processed and enlightened, can get the help of the eternal. We can only do a certain amount of that through changing the way we act in a more external sense. This is where meditation is essential. At some point, to do the full processing of the need, we've got to do a lot of meditation. Meditation done regularly over weeks, months, and years. And the meditative attitude of mind brought into our daily life, which is the meaning of mindfulness. This is the pure precept, do only good. Right effort, right meditation, and right mindfulness. Do only good means more than doing good deeds as the world understands. Again, we're talking about someone who wishes to make the best new beginning that they can make, not someone who wants to settle for second or third or fourth best. So meditation, the continued practice and the perfecting of meditation in a human life is required for this. It's not a nice adjunct, it's a requirement. Now, essential to this process of meditation, which is a very complex and rich process, not something as simple as people think when they think of meditation as something related to mental well-being, feeling peaceful, this kind of thing. But in its full religious meaning, meditation is deep and complex. And what the meditation is going to do, it's going to accelerate the coming due of karma so that the karma can get cleaned up. It's going to accelerate the coming due of spiritual need so that the spiritual need can be felt, recognized, and get help. And by saying by getting help, I mean primarily and fundamentally getting the help of the eternal. We have our role in that, a role of willingness and acceptance, and the deepest help, the help that truly purifies the heart and converts the karma, is provided by the eternal. We make our body and mind available to this. We have to understand that what we can do is the minor role. The eternal does all the heavy lifting. So that karma has to come due, and this is why meditation can at times be so difficult to do. One makes oneself available to the eternal, makes one's body and mind, one's consciousness, one's feeling, one's will, and one's willingness available to the eternal. Of course, death is both an ending and it's a new beginning. When it's viewed as just an ending, we can very easily despair when we come to the time of death, or despair when those we love die. If you meditate when beings die, when you meditate as you come closer to and contemplate your own death, you will realize in your blood and bones that death is not just an ending. Don't go with the superficial and the worldly. Go with your what's in your hara, what's in your blood and bones, what's in your spiritual center. If all that spiritual need that we're lugging could undergo the process of purification and conversion, then a pure stream of compassion and wisdom can be launched into the future at the time of our death and spread about in the present, for that matter, at the time of our death. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.